Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
We joked about it, that the three of us could go up to a cabin in the mountains and sit there. Yeah. What I'm saying to you is I think that when, if you... Okay, I'm saying to you,
picture that.
Such an, hey, Pony, did he come in a-hole mode today?
I know. I thought we were having a great time.
Oh, by the way, knock back five of those beignets, have a big cup of that chicory coffee, and then go back to your hotel room where it'll be just... The head of Court TV said, quote, I don't know what he would sound like. What would the head of Court TV sound like?
Court cases that are as high profile as this one often create a lot of noise, and it can be difficult for viewers to break through these distractions, to have a clear picture of the facts, but that's where we come in.
All that and more, the Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
The question is Rob's liver going to come back like Kansas did in the national championship game? I get a lot of questions these days. And let me tell you, I talked to our good buddy Rob. His optimism in life is something that we should all strive for.
I think that, I would imagine that it is infectious optimism that...
he's so happy.
I like the idea that he's participating. Rob, by the way, still doing plenty of work behind the scenes.
He wants to come
TMOS.
In tomorrow. I keep fighting him about it. I'm like, dude.
He wants to come in tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm just like, come on. Like, I want you to just focus on you. Now, do all the show stuff still, but focus on you.
Well, tell me, I think that this week was more than last week, where he's coming in from home and he's going to do another break at the beginning. That's when we need him, and then he can go, do his thing.
Go lay down.
I yesterday speaking with every time I see him
he's
joking,
getting better.
When we've got a thread going, the question is, that you and I
worry
of
about
the mindset
it,
that we worry because we want to see him get the right doctor. To get friggin' May. It makes me want to scream. That's the only negative that I've got. I love seeing Rob's attitude and the willingness that he has, the desire. And believe me, folks, it ain't about the moolah. It ain't about that. We are supporting Rob through this thick and thin, whatever he needs. Full scholarship during this time. You don't need to put it like that. A full scholarship.
That's not new. I say that about my wife.
Look at my freshly showered hair sticking straight
at
up
least
in the
you're
air.
Clean.
I'm so challenged hair-wise. Anyway, getting back to Rob.
Yes.
The most important thing is his health. He knows that. We're supporting him with that. Speaking to him, and I think you feel the same way as I do, every single time we talk to Rob, it feels good. And I think about Rob all the time, morning, noon, and night now. And it is, the fact that we just celebrated a 30th year anniversary together. We've been working together a long time. We know each other very well. Speaking to him gives me a positive vibe about the situation. I like looking at him, seeing that he's getting better and better. And, we'll see where we go with this. I just
top of mind.
Why can't the appointment be today? Just so we can know where he is, what he's going to do, what the prognosis is.
I think he's loving the attention, though.
You're too cruel. I think. All right, you want your negative? I'll throw. That's not a negative. He's also good at being.
I see his thread.
Right.
I see.
Is
his
he
thread.
Not good at being sick? Sick. He is.
Well, I don't know.
What I'm saying, I'm going to take
Wordle,
a walk today.
The only reason that I popped up is because I got a notification that his Wordle's been posted.
Yeah.
Like, if I see another one of those, I don't know what to do. How about you post availabilities for certain doctors? Like, I don't know. Draw some charts. Make some phone calls.
That is our dilemma.
Yes.
That is our dilemma.
To each their own, Mike. If something ever happens to me, I'm not even going to fight. I'm just going to order premium services to adult video services and move on with my life.
I don't know. We have given him input. The listeners have given him input.
I love
him. He's handling this the way he handles it. All I know is when I talked to him yesterday, I felt better. And then when we were exchanging our love letters after the show, I liked it even more because we all call each other a-holes.
Well, and, I don't.
Well, when you listen to this segment, of course, you understand why.
Yeah.
Why that happens. But it's frustrating.
It's so top. Mike and I, we have a pre-show meeting. And none of this was in the pre-show meeting. It's just top of mind because I saw a little notification that Rob Spiewak has posted. And I'm like, you know.
What time did he post his Wordle today?
Let me look. Okay, I'll give you the exact time. We're taping early today. Thank you, Mike. Heart start. I was here on time.
Well, I still allow highlight a 5-minute buffer
it's
for you.
Fine. I was excited. I high five pony. This is at 8:37.
All right.
So for me, it's not about the Wordle. Don't ruin it for yourself. It's more about if you're up at 8:37, like, are you doing sit ups? Like, what's happening in that world? Right. I don't know. I got to go visit him.
Well, just getting up and doing your Wordle. Getting up, lying in bed, doing a Wordle. He's recharging is the way I understand it, you know? And he still has the, what would it be, tired voice, right?
Yeah, it's a weak voice.
Right, that kind of, you know, so I think that got better than the last time we talked to him.
A few more coats of saliva, hopefully by Thursday.
So that's it. He's listening to this. You know he is. Hey, by the way, posting Wordle. What is posting Wordle? Do you post that you solved it?
Yes.
But you don't give it away, right?
How many? Well, there are two schools of thought.
I do it usually every other day.
People write how many turns it took for them to get the Wordle. They're either bragging or
self-deprecating. Okay, all right, so that's what it is. Yeah. So it shows your stats. By the way, thank you for sending the new one. I didn't put it in yet, but I got the new one yesterday, and I will be installing that. So
Spaceship.
Thank you for my is it battery operated, or do you charge it?
You will charge it. So have a charger on hand. Don't let anybody take it from there, because that's the kiss of death.
Yeah, so you keep it attached
keep
to
it
the charger.
To the computer.
It's really attaching it to the computer.
No, you can unplug it, but when you need a charger, you want it right there.
Yeah, sure. All right, I understand that.
Sure.
All right, so when I talked about the post-gaming for my auction the other night, I am here to tell you that I said this to Marv. You've heard me say this on the show.
Well, you've
before.
Burned friendships.
No. I don't think that is even relevant.
The text?
I think that text is so irrelevant. Okay. It's just, first of all, I went back and looked at it again, and each time I look at it, it gets softer. And it gets more cryptic, where you could interpret it any other way.
Like,
and
the other thing, Mike, is from Yuba.
I don't expect any response. I don't expect any response on that.
Okay,
and I don't
clear.
Care.
You're clear.
I don't care. I only care about my buddy who I haven't seen, and if he heard anything about it. And I don't think so, because it wasn't definitive, and it
also
is.
I could see. I mean, Will Smith was upset when they disrespected his wife. I get that.
That you're really going to make it at that level. That's really nice. Thanks. I love it when we tape early. I love it when you come in early with this energy level you have that makes me angry. The days have seemed longer, a little hotter down here in Florida, kind of another heat wave. April so far has been a little warmer than normal, so that gets unusual. And then last night, I am not a good dad. I am not a good dad when I get out of the car. And I tell Michael we're running a little bit late. He's supposed to be there by 6 o'clock, but they warm up at 5:30, and we're there about 5:40. And I'm like, Michael, run over there. And then I go over to set up my easy chair where I'm going to have my eyes open, but I'm not going to be there for the whole game. And Michael comes running back around the dugout and says, Coach wants to see you. And I'm
ooh.
Like, here we go. Here we go. They're down a man again, and it's going to be me. And I'm fine with that. But I don't indicate to the coach, because I already have a relationship with the coach where he kind of knows me. So we're going to need you to, I said, are you going to need, do you need another body tonight, coach? He goes, yeah, we're going to need you. And I literally will show you. This is the God's honest truth, Oscar. This is how I react.
Wait, so you're on the bleachers. You're on the bleachers.
I'm standing on the field. I'm standing on the field. I go walk out to talk to him, and he says, we're going to need you again tonight. And I go,
oh no.
Because I just wasn't into it. What he's going to ask me to do is he's going to ask me to be the bench coach.
Yeah.
And this is what the
no name, unknown success entity.
This is what the fat man does. I go over and I say, well, coach, listen, my legs are sore. I don't know why they're sore, but they are. No, not that. I played golf and I was playing badly and I just was wiped out and I've been standing all day and I want to put my little easy chair.
Yeah.
When I used to go see the Red Sox play in spring training, it was when Lou Piniella was
I know the name. I know
when
the
Lou Piniella was the managing the Rays, and Lou Piniella during spring training would set up outside of the dugout. At a spring training ballpark with a real dugout, he'd set up two lawn chairs, and he'd usually have a grandkid in one of the lawn chairs. And he would sit in that lawn chair for the entire time he was there watching the game. It was hysterical. I said, is it okay if I do a Lou Piniella? I don't think the coach knew what I was talking about, but I set up my lawn chair right next to the dugout where I could yell at the crumb crunchers to get ready. And in that same discussion, it was I was informed that one of our coaches is moving to Wyoming.
Mm.
And so what?
No, everything's fine. I'm just curious about.
I'm just checking who texted.
Oh, you got texted. Right, okay, here. Never mind.
All right.
Yes, I said, what? I'm like, we're having a conversation here. It's not like you're, like, if you're just sitting and yelling, that you can do that all day.
Right, right.
Like, we do that on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. But the coach moving to Wyoming, I stepped up.
Oh.
And I'm going to be now one of the real coaches.
Ooh.
I don't know what I'm going to be doing, but I have to get an extra large Rays jersey.
Oh.
Because the coach that's leaving is a real little guy, so it's not like he's giving me his Rays jersey, but I will now be an official coach, and I will be starting, I think, the last weekend in April, where we are going to have a weekend tournament where, get this, the manager, the guy that was asking me to join up, he will not be in town either. So you're talking about going from a bench coach to possibly, being the co-manager of the Little League
Let me be supportive here.
Yeah.
You were clearly effective when you were playing, your best impression of Billy Bean with the kids.
Yeah, but Billy Bean was mellow. I was
3 weeks ago?
No, I was more of a disciplinarian.
Tony La Russa?
I would be not Tony. Let me see. I would give you Jim Lehman. I would be more of a Jim Lehman. I would be more of a Joe Torre.
Okay, Joe Torre, I can see that.
Joe Torre.
Yankee,
I was more of a disciplinary. We lost last night, by the way.
Yeah,
we lost, and our fielding was terrible.
Brutal.
And
you have experience. It's been well chronicled on the show that we found out that you coached. And this this haunted me for some time. Mike coached a little league team without having any kids.
Right.
And then when we further pried, he didn't mention that he was doing it for like a buddy's, he was the dad of one of the kids and he thought it'd be fun. Or there was like someone's mom he wanted to sleep with.
I can't tell you with any accuracy.
This was so long ago. And then he came up with some sort of like, I was volunteering for the town. Like he lived on Little House on the Prairie and they needed men to come.
No, I think someone asked me and I agreed to do it. And I thought it would be good experience for the future. And had to make it ugly for when I had children. That was my plan.
I'm not calling
back
you
then.
A child predator. I just think it's peculiar.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, Oscar.
Just to clarify.
I really appreciate that.
I just thought it was interesting that you're... logic for being a coach at such a young age without children was your civic duty. You made it seem like
it was not civic duty nearly as much as I think a friend asked, and I thought it would be fun.
Okay,
this I thought it would be interesting.
Male friend or lady friend?
Male friend.
Hmm. He did
like
he?
A father. A father.
Okay, a
that
father
had
of
kids.
A son.
Yeah,
so on
we
the
need
team.
We need little league coaches. I said I'll do it. That was one of that. That's exactly how it went down. I am not going to allow you to continue twisting this. Mm. This is disgusting. Stop it. And I remember.
Were there any
it
hot
being,
moms?
I don't know. If
did
I,
you ask?
Know
you
what?
Probably
if,
asked. Any guy if, would ask that.
If there were, I would have probably remembered it.
Because at that point, you would have been a celebrity coach.
I was. I don't think it was. I didn't feel like it was a celebrity thing either. Mm. I felt like I was unknown. So I don't know how far back it
was
goes.
This on,
it goes back away.
Was this on was this on the side?
I was
of the
living
baby?
On the Eastern Shore.
Oh, Eastern Shore. Okay.
If it was the Eastern, it was Eastern Shore. And if that's the case, it was at the very beginning of my major market career, yeah. Or it was prior to my
yeah, but you
major
had success.
Market career. If it was, you know, if it was on the Eastern Shore, I could have been programming two little radio stations down there, and I wouldn't have called that celebrity. If I was doing the morning show in Washington, D.C., that's when notoriety began to follow a little bit.
Matt Bloom.
But this is a very uncomfortable discussion.
Mike's a good man, right?
We know he's a great man.
Yeah, especially off
Thank you. Thank you, Pony. I appreciate that.
Don't you think it's not, I don't think it's weird. I think it's interesting.
It was not weird.
That he, because I don't see, there's got to be some other, there's got to be some other layer to this.
Well, can I tell you what the other layer might be?
What,
and
what
I mean
could that
this.
Be?
You sick, disgusting individual. Let me tell you what I think. It was the love of baseball. I love the idea of
your
coaching
love
baseball.
Of the game in your early 20s?
Mid-20s.
Mid-20s?
Maybe. I think I was married, I think. I was married. If I was on the Eastern Shore,
this makes
I was
sense,
married. I think that's what it was.
You were made to do it.
I don't know if she had anything
Mike
to do
has
with
time.
It.
He only does 4 hours on the radio.
Well, it was an afternoon thing, you know, to do. So I loved it. As far as doing it now, why did I develop the Eastern Shore accent? Now I want to do it now. Hello. I don't remember it as being anything other than an educational experience because I dealt with some very vocal parents.
Do you remember the uniforms?
And saw, no.
No. No, oh man, no.
I don't
they
have
blocked
any real,
it out.
Yeah, Well, they have the regular baseball uniforms, and then I changed them all into the Los Angeles Lakers cheerleader uniforms. Is that where you're going?
No, I thought you were going to say with that? You know, the Eastern Shore, not at that point, not very a wealthy community, just up and coming.
Are you watching Winning Time with the Lakers?
I am.
Are
I
you
am.
Watching that?
I thought you were,
speaking of Lakers.
I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say that. You know, there were on Tuesdays, they played topless because they didn't have enough uniforms. But on Thursdays.
Skins and shirts. Okay.
Yeah, on
that
Thursday,
would be quite
we
enough of that. No, it was fine. Okay. And I don't have a lot of memories of it. It was okay. I know I didn't do it a second season. I didn't feel like it. Getting back to Winning Time. If we get. Okay. Will you just stop, please? Getting back to Winning Time. I'm not sure about the credibility of this.
Rob had
miniseries.
The same thoughts about the series. He's
right.
Obsessed with it.
It seems to me
well.
A little bit. By the way, are you all caught up?
Yes.
In on Winning
course.
Time. Wow. How about the end of that episode? Oh boy! Wow! 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 I don't remember that. So that's interesting.
You forget the powerhouse that. And I've been obsessed with the Lakers not because they're winners, because of my ties to WVU and Jerry West. And seeing the series, clearly it has to be dramatized, but there are some aspects at this level of wealth that you wouldn't believe, not just for the players, but for the dynamics of the ownership of the team.
Right.
It just blows your mind. And I'm also listening to a business podcast that chronicles the rise and decades-long power struggle with Sumner Redstone and Infinity and Viacom, you know, the entire world that we lived
That's
in.
That's between Mel Karmazan, our old boss,
yes.
And or my old boss, and Sumner, who was the old school Viacom guy.
Correct.
I think they butted heads a little
and
bit.
And his takeover of Paramount and all those, the business tactics of how the media empire
CBS,
was built. CBS, yep. Then eventually CBS, and then the fight with his own daughter. Because, and this is why these shows are made. There are some murmurs and there are loose rumors, and I could see this now after listening to this entire story arc of Viacom CBS, that our favorite show, Mike, on HBO, Succession, is loosely based on this empire crumbling and the infighting.
I can see that. I also can see that that extreme wealth at that level can, it's almost like the power statement where they say power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And when you talk, you know, great wealth can make you kooky.
Absolute wealth makes
you in totally kooky.
Yeah.
Well, totally insane. I get that vibe.
My brother's wealthy, and I'm fighting him over an under cabinet wine fridge.
Your brother's still worried about that, and that means he's sane. All right. Yeah. I'm talking about the kind of wealth that that you
generation
and I are not really ever exposed to because they're insulated.
That.
All right. And when you watch something on television, you see portrayals of it on TV. When you look at Jerry Buss, you look at the angst and the inadequacy and the self-loathing behavior.
Oh, my God.
And everything that made up him. You look at other people.
But that drove him.
Right.
That drove
But look
him.
At all these guys. When you look at Jeff Bezos mm-hmm. and you look at Bill Gates and you look at these men that have all of this, it is not like having amassed that kind of wealth makes you spectacularly stable. It makes you quite the opposite. I believe this. When you look at the behavior patterns of a guy like an Elon Musk or a guy like a Sumner Redstone, who was another very, very eccentric individual yeah. that had all that money. I think if you are prone to certain behaviors, the more of that money that you get, those behaviors are going to be exacerbated. They are not going to. It's not like the money is going to make you calm down. It's going to make you worse, and your issues that you had before are going to be 10 times
Mike,
worse.
You just blew my mind. I should have known this. I could have seen this. It's like show business. If you're talent, but you can buy the company. So it's like the talent gets away with murder in show business.
Talent gets away with murder. And there are people that are in it for the work. I believe that. If you're talking about, let's say, motion pictures and television programs or primarily motion pictures, I always go back and I use him as an example. I think somebody like a George Clooney, who is just never in the spotlight. Yeah. You never hear about George Clooney doing that. George Clooney, I think, loves making some movies and loves being involved in the world, marries a absolutely brilliant woman. I don't think you've got certain celebrities that they're always splashed all over the place because they need chaos. Will Smith and Jada Smith, yeah. the latest example of this, where, you know, that behavior is that wealth and that power and that success that they have accumulated. And I'm not going to say they, because I'm going to talk about him. Mm-hmm. He's the one that did the slap. That has done nothing to help him with whatever issues he has, obviously. You know, it's incredible. And look, as someone who has behaved badly
and
in public.
Rewarded handsomely for it.
Well, no, you're talking about the radio show.
Yes.
I'm talking about just afterwards when I got into a brouhaha with a guy at a bar after I got laid off. That was when that happened. Mm-hmm. I think that is, that desire to ride the white horse that we are raised with in this country. And we didn't talk about this when we talked about the Will Smith situation. When you're supposed to be the knight in shining armor that defends your lady, my last skirmish, a legitimate bar fight, where I went outside with a guy, was me thinking, well, I'm defending the honor of my wife. He made a horrible comment about my wife, and I went outside, and I'm not going to share it here, and that's when I did this. We think, if we're broken, and I think to a degree I am, that's going to be the solution when it's not. And, you know, all the money and all the wealth in the world that Will Smith has, he still sat on that stage. And there's a part of me that can understand exactly how that went. This guy is saying something horrible about my wife, who I have seen suffer. It's not a debilitating, horrible condition. You lose your hair with alopecia. But he thought, as the husband, this is the, you know, I'm going to come to the defense of my wife. And because it's on that national stage, and he is Will Smith, superstar, power broker, movie mogul. He broke. It can happen to anybody. The thing that I've learned in 62 years on this planet is that if you are someone that has figured things out to a degree, and by the way, everybody's human, everybody can F up. It is inevitable. Somebody will F up. But I use Clooney simply because you never hear about the guy. And when you look at who he married and where he lives and how he stays out of the fray and how he still makes movies, I've always admired the way he manages his career. I think he's one of the templates for how to do that. Jerry Buss, as he is portrayed in this miniseries, Winning Time, The Rise of the Los Angeles Lakers, it looks to me that this guy is portrayed to have all these issues that, you know, it has nothing to do with the Lakers or winning or any of that. It has everything to do with this guy's effed up relationship with his family that, you know, all the money and all the Laker girls and all the championship rings in the world won't solve. Is that accurate about him?
That is accurate. That is accurate. I think it's fascinating that does money make things easier? I would imagine so. But the dynamics of the maneuvers and greed and slithering around that comes with that type of wealth seems daunting.
It, you know, you say, does money make it better? Whew. I don't.
You were happier when you were wealthier. I remember.
That's so untrue. That's absolutely not true. That could not be further from the truth.
You look pretty happy at WJFK jumping into what was, I thought, a brand new Range Rover with your 20-year-old girlfriend zooming away.
You are putting stereotypes all over me.
You look good. I was like, there he is, my hero.
No, I was not.
You just floated away. The car didn't even make noise. It's not electric.
No, that was not the happiest. My happiest time has been, sweetheart, it's been with you for the last 13 years. It's 12 years.
I get that.
No,
yes,
I've been happier. I have been happier with my day-to-day existence that in the last 5 years than I've been at any time in my life. And you know what? The whole thing. Yeah. I mean, it's been... Look, I went kicking and screaming. I don't want to say kicking and screaming, but I went into another marriage with a great deal of insecurity, thinking, what can I do? And Carl and I, it is not a dream scenario. It is not that we didn't punch through a lot of issues early in our relationship because of my situation and because of her background. I think it happened a lot. But when you're talking about the idea of happiness, my happiness is not related to financial gain as much as it's my the things that really count, which are your family, which we could we've joked about it that the three of us could go up to a cabin in the mountains and sit there. Yeah. What I'm saying to you is I think that when if you I'm saying to you.
Picture
you're
that.
Such an, hey, Pony, did he come in a-hole mode today?
I know. I thought we were having a great time.
It's a blast. Yeah, pedophilia.
You're saying
money's the only thing that made me happy. You're really coming in having a great time. You might be having a great time.
I remember my perspective.
Yes,
as a young buck in the business.
Yeah, you and the junkies saw me and the, you know, and getting into blah, blah. And I get it. I understand that. That's not what does it. And the more you get, miles behind you, you get a few miles on the tires,
yes,
you understand that that's not what it comes down to. Now, everybody in my world, around my world, kind of said, I know they roll their eyes. I know they looked at my history. I know that they said they didn't give a plug nickel for this relationship to be successful. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, I had my doubts as well. We came from two different worlds, not to mention the age gap that we had. It just happens to roll right now where, where we're just, we're doing okay. And professionally, when we got rid of all that corporate crap, which I still have nightmares about, horrible nightmares about, it has become a better world for me because do I love having a microphone and talking? I love it. I found that out. How did I find that out? Doing this podcast when it was condensed. Because the truth of the matter is, and this is the truth, I don't care who says, I did not like the four-hour format of that pressure to fill that time. And if you listen to four-hour radio shows, certainly four-hour talk radio shows, most of them are sports or politics. They are.
Color-driven.
That's the number one question I get. Yeah. What we do, where it can go in any direction, and we talk about our lives and our angst and our issues, and we can be honest about a colleague that is taken ill that we are praying for. Mm. All of these things are helpful. This is what I didn't know I loved it. until I did this podcast. So throw in the fact that the money is not where it was in my life, and throw in the professional world is much more of a homemade situation. And, you know, my happiness is that way. You cannot come in here and say I was happier when I had money, because it's just not true, you hump.
I stand corrected.
It's, not true.
But you looked happy.
I had pits in my stomach about Sunday at 11 a.m. I started getting the little twist up in the stomach, thinking about coming in on Monday and doing that.
Can I tell you the one time I saw you sad in the garage and I was like, oh, what happened? I don't know if you had come back from...
Pony, before he does this, do you think this is going to be shtick or is this going to be a legitimate story?
No, I remember this. I was in my Affliction t-shirt because I was a douche in my early 30s.
We all wore those for a while. And, back when I could wear one. And, even being fat, I tried them on.
You know, my designer jeans and white sneakers. I walk out and I see Mike pull in not this high-line European vehicle or like a Secret Service SUV, but it was like a crossover. And... I don't know if it was a Toyota. I don't know what it was. Small and a white vehicle, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know.
Okay. I think I know the one you're talking about. Maybe it was a Toyota 4Runner or a Highlander or something like that.
Yes, Highlander. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cousin of the 4Runner. And
you know that story? The story behind that?
I don't know. You look sad. Sad, man. I was like, oh, I hope everything's okay.
I think that was when I went to... my buddy Andy over at the Toyota shop down the road, Oarsman. Let me give them a little plug. Let me give him a ding for the Oarsman family.
Good outfit, Oarsman.
Played golf with him after my 20 years down here, which was fun. And that was when we had a little weekend. And my degenerate gambling was so bad that I looked at my wife at one point. I said, we can sell the car. We sold a car and traded it on a Toyota.
That's what happened? Oh, my God.
Now, that should make you happy, because that describes me as shallow, money-driven, and all those horrible things.
No.
But that doesn't make you happy.
No.
You know what someone once told me?
Yes.
One of my many therapists?
No, I don't know.
You can never get enough of what won't satisfy you. That can go with a Krispy Kreme donut. That can go with a bottle of alcohol. That can go with a conquest of women on a weekend. Mm-hmm. That can go with degenerate gambling.
Porcelain
I believe
dolls.
That philosophy. Mm-hmm. What's that?
Porcelain dolls.
Yeah. Although I think they bring him a great deal of pleasure.
This is true.
I really do.
This
do they, Pony?
Yes. Yes, they fulfill me.
Yes, they do. That's wonderful. That's that. But do you understand? Have I made my point?
Yes,
by the
I'm
way,
actually,
your
I'm not,
hair today.
Yes. Is, all, is it up? Is it too much?
No, I'm waiting for you. Have you been cast in the next season of The Righteous Gemstones?
Oh, it's a lot of product. Yeah.
It's a lot of product.
Early start.
Do you believe me when I tell you that? That I mean, I can be, I'm always a curmudgeon, and I probably will end up being a worse curmudgeon, but no, this is,
you
I'm
are
where
happier
I be.
Spiritually. As a human being,
can
overall,
I tell you what
happy.
I'm not happy about and what I am sad about? And this doesn't change, and I don't think it will change. The hobby that I love does not marry with the attitudes of the people I play with, and it never will. Mm. I'm reasonably sure it never will. So I am surrounded the people that love this game as much as I do and live their lives exactly like I do. We diverge at one very important part, and that is the attitude that we have about the country and politics.
That's tough.
And where we are with that. And that sometimes can be more of a burden than I share on this show. Sometimes it really wears my ass out.
Yep.
Sometimes I had an opportunity yesterday to play a round of golf with a guy that doesn't line up with me 100%, but certainly talked about is much more moderate. And it was fun to have because these are conversations I normally can't share with people the way I feel about the world. Mm. And it sucks. And it's a drag. And that makes me... That makes me sad because I'm wondering what it would be like if I was in an environment where that wasn't the case. Now, some might say, well, why don't you go play golf where people think the way you... Well, I don't know where that is because I think the game itself lends itself to a pretty conservative environment. And that wears me out. That wears me out because I love the game so much. But most of the time, Oscar, I'm able to... Not, you know, ignore it. It's not their people. And I know the strategies to keep people out of my kitchen when it comes to that. But it's still sometimes, you know, I wonder what it would be like to be like-minded with people, you know, and I don't think it'll ever happen. That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. And that it is, I think, Mike, that's a byproduct of what a lot of people are feeling across the country. Or they have a
We're divided.
Yeah, but you're also getting back to work. You're coming back in, and people are like, you know, how about that president and gas prices? What are we going to do?
I peeled a sticker off a gas pump the other day. Did I tell you that?
No.
I actually peeled a sticker. Somebody makes stickers now that has a picture of Joe Biden, and it's a sticker with his finger pointing, and it points right at the gas price.
Oh.
And people have put them Yeah,
yeah, I
did this.
What you're talking about.
I did this.
Coming out of a global pandemic.
And I peel it off, and then I sanitize my hands.
There's a war. It's so crazy. It really.
Yeah, if you're asking about the one thing that makes me sad, how divided we are. And look, I don't mind people with other opinions. It just, when did we become bumper stickers that say "F the president" for a guy that's 80 years old
doing his best?
Yeah, he's doing this. I think he's chugging along. We got to take a break. And that was a therapy session I did not anticipate. We'll get right to the news. But thank you for that. Thank you for saying I was happier when I had money.
I said
I looked happier. Yeah. I looked younger, too, and thinner, if you can call that thinner. We'll be right back with the homepage. Jesus, you're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show.
In a world where others found happiness, one man cautioned all those around him.
Don't get happy.
Podcast Village Studios is proud to present Michael Sean Patrick O'Mara in the role he was born to play.
I'm not going
to
be fucking Santa Claus.
I will find you, and I will kill you.
And Regina from the New York Times calls it pretty, pretty good.
Very good. Very good.
This film is not yet rated and will not be shown anywhere. The Mike O'Mara Show is available on demand in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and available on Stitcher and Spotify. In space, no one can hear you scream, but on the internet, everyone can hear you bitch.
There you go. By the way, those guys behind the scenes told me they've been very prolific with the promos.
I haven't
been paying attention to it. That there are a lot in the hopper that I haven't gotten on the air yet. So I don't know who's checking those out, but get them on the air. They're fantastic. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. And that's Jim Amato and Mark Twitch Riddell. We love those guys. Thanks, guys, for doing that. It's really an essential part of the show now. We really appreciate that. Hey, there's nothing like gathering around a warm fire on a cool evening, and a smokeless fire pit from Solo Stove makes your outdoor moments even more memorable. Spend some time with family and friends and build lasting memories around a Solo Stove fire pit. So proud to be associated with Solo Stove because it's such a great product. It's the best. Instead of fumes from campfire fumes, you sit back, relax, and actually enjoy the fire. And right now you can get a great deal on a Solo Stove fire pit. They are brilliantly engineered, made with premium grade 304 stainless steel and a 360 degree airflow system that maximizes efficiency while minimizing smoke. It's so easy to light with just a few bits of starter. Your fire is blazing in minutes. It's perfectly portable. Take Solo Stove with you on camping trips and more. We all have them. We all love them. Solo Stove is the best. Shop now. Get up to 30% off fire pits all month long and use promo code TMOS at checkout to get an extra $20 off plus a lifetime warranty and free 30-day returns. Just go to solostove.com and remember, you get $20 off when you use promo code TMOS. And we thank you, Solo Stove.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage, and we were talking about happiness. Well, here's a bit of an unhappy relationship. Johnny Depp's defamation lawsuit against Amber Heard hits a Virginia courtroom on Monday. And Court TV is going to televise the whole thing. It's going to be one of those trials we get on Court TV like we
used
to. Is
he coming to Virginia, or is it still a Zoom world?
In case you've been living under a rock, Johnny filed a $50 million defamation lawsuit against Amber for her claims of domestic abuse in a Washington Post op-ed. This particular case has a slew of celebrity witnesses that include James Franco. Wow. I'm not sure whether...
Character witness.
Witness? Elon Musk is also going to be there. We were talking about him before. It doesn't say what part of Virginia it's going to be in or whether Johnny is coming to the Old Dominion. The head of Court TV said, quote, I don't know what he would sound like. What would the head of Court TV sound like?
Court cases that are as high profile as this one often create a lot of noise, and it can be difficult for viewers to break through these distractions to have a clear picture of the facts. But that's where we come in. Anyway, thought he might sound like that. So check it out. Look it up. It's coming to Virginia. I'm not sure where that's going to happen. Robert Downey Jr. wants you to improve your diet. Well, I feel like he's talking to me. Not just for your sake, but for the environment's. That's a comeback story, Robert Downey, Downey Jr.
Oh,
Robert Downey Downer.
Changed his life completely around.
He co-wrote the book called Cool Food, Erasing Your Carbon Footprint One Bite at a Time. He says, quote, "Our best global food future requires no hand-wringing, fad diets, or radical shame. Just a perspective shift to discovering the many solutions in plain sight." The other author's name is Thomas Costigan, and he says the book will teach us to do our part by, quote, "making a few different choices at the grocery store, trying something new on the restaurant menu, and by keeping an eye out for foods that store more carbon in the ground rather than polluting the air." Pony, would that be like root vegetables or something like that, maybe?
Yeah. I think any kind of root vegetable, basically not eating lots of beef is probably the best thing you can do.
That produce methane and all that, exactly. Like animal fats and
stuff. Yeah, meat's great, but it's not perfect.
I know. All that stuff. You go to Whole Foods, I think you got about a 10% ratio of something that tastes good. That's just my opinion. No word yet on when the book is coming out, really. We went there one day and just did a random kind of roll around whole paycheck and found some stuff like that. I ate a plant-based yogurt.
Yeah.
That it was tasted like ass.
Go to the buffet.
I'm sorry.
It's wonderful.
Go to the buffet.
I'm serious. Hey,
the buffet.
Teriyaki chicken. It's gorgeous.
That old one they had, they rebuilt the one in your neighborhood, right?
Yeah, I've been to the buffet. It's wonderful.
Have they improved it? Remember the old days before the rats came in? It was horrible.
It looks like an Apple store now. It's beautiful.
Okay, very good. Exciting. I never miss a Bieber story. Justin Bieber is gifting a month of free online therapy for his fans through a website. We promote online, so I'm not going to give this website. He's also offering 18 months for his touring crew. This news came out right after his ex-girlfriend, Selena Gomez, launched her own mental health platform. So they're all about mental health.
I hope it's the same platform.
Well, it's called BetterHelp. I'll give it. It's called BetterHelp. And, it's documented now that with the pandemic, a lot of people have
To someone.
Suffering.
Mike and I have each other.
Yes.
But if you don't have someone, call someone.
Yeah, we actually, every single day, we do the very best we can, ladies and gentlemen. Please help us. Let's move along. I need the thingy. You think most of us would know this information, but there's a good chance you don't. Do you know all four of your grandparents' names, Oscar?
Oh, yes, I do. I do. Do you want me to give them to you?
Yeah.
Carmelo.
Is your maternal?
Maternal.
Maternal grandmother.
Yes. Ruti?
Ruti?
Yes.
Is your maternal grandfather?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. How about on the other side?
Absent and absent.
Never knew him?
Never knew him.
Did they die young?
My father's father died when he was, I think, 12. And then my father's mother passed away when he was 30.
Really?
Yeah, poverty.
We share that. Isn't that weird? We share that in common. We don't know either one of our paternal grandparents, but I know their names. Helen, on my father's side, was my grandmother. Edward was my grandfather. By the way, first Irish Catholic judge, I believe, in the state of Connecticut, which is kind of cool. Big chunky guy like me, And Rob sent me the falling down thing. I should play that right now. On my mother's side, Sally Perrault and Oscar Perrault.
Yes, strong name.
Oscar Perrault was not my my biological grandfather, but he did raise my mother, and he was grandfather to me, more of a grandfather than any biological grandparent could be. A spectacular human being and a spectacular relationship with his daughter, because he would come over, and this is way back. I'm so old. I can tell these stories now. My dad got a new car and gave my grandfather his old car, his old Ford.
his old Ford that was a really, really old Ford and looked like police cars. It was back in the day, mm-hmm. like that. And my dad liked to get behind people on the highway when we had that Ford and watch them slow down. So my father, I guess my father would have been an early squirrel.
That's where your squirrel.
That's where my squirrel love comes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. My grandfather got retired at the tool and die factory that he was a foreman working for years. And he had mandatory retirement and he hated it. 65. They put him out to pasture. He never got over it. He loved to work. He loved to get up in the morning and work. And he ended up mowing lawns in our town. And during the summer, when I was out of school, I worked with him. And I would go around before I was real work age, and I would pick tobacco and work various jobs around my town. I worked with my grandfather. And he'd stop, for his lunch in a bag that Sally would pack for him. And he'd have his Schmitz beer. Along with his sandwich. That's God, sweet. I miss you, Gramps. That's I wrote sweet. A really nice article about my grandfather for a writing class in college, and I know it's around somewhere. I just have to look for it. So yeah, that's how much it meant to me. Moving right along, you think that we love our world, we really do, but we have to make changes. And it's a well-known fact that drinking coffee can make you need to go number two. But would you believe scientists still don't know why? Someone talked to a few experts about it, including a doctor at Harvard, and it's true. We still don't know exactly what causes that reaction when you drink coffee. They don't think it's just the caffeine, because decaf can do it too. So it might have something to do with other compounds in coffee. So if you drink a lot of coffee and it makes you poo, be aware that nobody really knows why that happens. Something maybe about making the colon... contract more.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same reason that I have the caffeine. I have the same effect with any energy drink where you're like, well, I gotta go soon. The diuretic component has to be rooted in what I guess was in every coffee, what's ubiquitous, which is the caffeine. It has to be, right? Because I on CBS This Morning, yes.
Right.
I have the viewing habits of an 80-year-old person. I'm watching them.
I hate that morning show.
I truly hate that. They're doing a full dive on Café Dumont. Is it Dumont?
Dumont. Café Dumont.
And the idea that they will not serve anything else than those little
beignets.
And the coffee still has some root in the coffee.
Chicory,
yeah. Mike, how do you know all of this? This is crazy.
I'm just good. It's Café Dumont. It's New Orleans, one of my favorite cities.
Man.
By the way, knock back five of those beignets, have a big cup of that chicory coffee, and then go back to your hotel room where it'll be just... That's it. And then a little something. A 74-year-old woman in Pennsylvania, her name was Celestia Barker. She was upset with police last month because she didn't like it that her grandson was hit with felony drug charges. She said he only had a small amount of weed and a pipe. So then she committed a felony of her own. She allegedly told an officer that she practices white witchery and that he'd be a target if he didn't drop the drug charges. It's unclear exactly what white witchery is, but she suggested that it could push him down a flight of stairs or get him into a car accident. The cop asked if she was threatening him, and she said no, she was just making statements. She was asked if there was a law against that, was told there was, and then made another threat, saying the officers best be looking over their shoulder. Hey, lady, calm down. She's now facing felony charges for threatening unlawful harm to a public servant, and she was released on $10,000 bail. White witchery is also how Carla knows I'm eating candy when she's already asleep. That's it for you. We have to take a break. We'll come back with something. I want to talk to Oscar. Do you want to talk about that boomerang effect?
Yes.
Or the identity crisis?
No,
your choice.
Boomerang effect.
Yes. Sure. Sounds good. Maybe I'll give you a little psychotherapy
today.
We'll be right back with more fun and thrills. You're listening to the Mike O'Meara Show. Wow, wow.
Hey, y'all, I'm Luke Bryan.
Hi, America, this is Luke Bryan, and I won't be satisfied till I get every one of your redneck dollars in my wallet.
I'm here with Katy Perry, Lionel Richie, and he wears real tiny little jackets.
This is going to work, right? I mean, this is going to be good. Right?
I make my own beer. It tastes like
Take it from country music doofus Luke Bryan.
Hi, this is Luke Bryan.
And I never shave my neck.
From shiny new licorice hats to red Solo cups.
I've got goose flesh.
The Mike O'Mara Shopping Center has got you covered for all your hillbilly shopping needs.
Holy!
Just click the shopping center banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Ain't that right, Luke?
That dang old internet, man. Click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Dadgrass. I'm going to say it the right way today. Mellower vibes, just to drop or toke away. Dadgrass, we've been telling you about Dadgrass, taking you back to a sunnier time, ladies and gentlemen, when hipsters wore styled jeans. Really?
Let me tell you, I feel great.
Zabalios is still enjoying herself.
My disposition is fantastic. Matt Bloom has two teachers of his own. I'm outside of the personal order he put in. Matt, how are you feeling these days?
I'm feeling great. I feel like $1 million.
Do you really like the Dadgrass?
That it's smooth. It's smooth, right?
It is smooth, and it's much easier to enjoy than other forms of grass.
CBD.
Yeah.
It's great.
Sit back, light up, and chill out the old-fashioned way. Sweet dreams are made of CBD. Dadgrass is legal, organic, smokable hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Their 100% organic pre-rolled joints are very low in THC and high in CBD. So that means you can enjoy the effects of CBD while keeping a clear head. And if you want the toke without the smoke, Dadgrass has a CBD tincture made with the same high-quality hemp. It's easy to dose, and the effects come on smooth. Chill out without getting stoned. It's like having a glass of wine instead of the whole bottle. Whether you're looking for a new buzz or a chill way to enjoy an old favorite, Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. And you heard Oscar and Pony. They love it.
Yeah,
right now, Dadgrass.
We're not potheads, Fokker. Like, we love it.
Dadgrass is offering TMOS listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. Remember, man. That's dadgrass.com/TMOS. All right, so you were saying to me, two news things I want to get to.
Please.
Here. I want to talk about people wanting to come back to work with the boomerang effect, and I also want to mention to people, just digested an awful lot of Ukraine stuff yesterday. Don't forget, please don't forget, guys. Don't move on to the next thing, because this is still going on.
The war crimes.
Yeah, man. They're doing that. I mean, God, look, it was a known fact, right, Oscar, in World War II that, the Russians were far more barbaric when they would liberate a town or take over, turf from the Germans. It's documented that Jews in the concentration camps would prefer the Americans to liberate the camps than the Russians. The Russian army has this unbelievably barbaric reputation, and obviously they're doing more of the same in Ukraine.
The terrifying takeaway from yesterday's broadcast, catching up on the news, was that the firsthand accounts on the ground out of Kyiv, the people that were shot and the war crimes that the people were murdered and the rape and the townspeople that were raped, and you sit there and a common line is, they're looking for Nazis.
Yeah.
Soldiers.
Soldiers who are probably brainwashed.
They
too.
Think yeah. They're liberating these people from Nazis.
From Nazis. Yeah. And they probably believe it, right? But it still doesn't justify what they're doing.
No, it doesn't. It's just
shooting people on bicycles, running over people in their tanks.
The justification is not even their lie. It's terrifying that they could cloak and they've brainwashed. Well, at least, these firsthand accounts, the Russian soldiers would think that they're actually doing something for good.
Right. It's scary. It's very scary. So keep it in mind. Look, pressure on. I know we don't want to send troops over there, NATO, but NATO, United States, overdrive. Get them everything they want. Get them everything they want so they can they can wage this war against Russia. It's just a dragon. Don't forget. That's what I wanted to say. You were talking about regarding the other big story that has us all depressed forever coming out of this pandemic now, that there is now a boomerang effect. You were talking to me about that. It surprised me a little bit.
I was actually shocked as well on CNBC, Squawk Box, program of note. They They broke down.
I'll say that whenever you say Squawk Box. Anyway. Thank you. Can you say it again just for fun?
Squawk Box on CNBC. Thank you.
Pony, you want to say it for fun?
Oh, yeah.
Squawk Box.
Yeah, you know, you can't have fun, you die. That's it. That's the way it is.
When we had the Great Resignation, if you owned a small business, if you owned a Fortune 500 firm, if you led a team of 30, you knew that out of the blue, and no one saw this coming, at least I didn't, that once the vaccines were in place, people wanted to either leave, start new jobs, go and travel, resign.
Yeah, it was a big deal that people couldn't get, nobody was hiring anybody because they couldn't get people to come and work. You're saying now things might be changing? Because that might be good news, right?
A report just came out last week. This is Thursday of this week, but last week on Friday, that said that 65% of those who resigned or left for a different job, which I thought that was going to be better, the grass is greener on the other side. You always believe that. Would love to get their old jobs back.
Now, the jobs you're talking about, right, were people maybe taking more, I don't want to use the word dumbed down, but taking jobs that were less responsible than their previous gigs. Is that right? And now they want to come back to their old stomping grounds because they want the money. I mean, this seems to me it would be good news. People want to get back into the workforce.
It's good news. It's good news for... It really depends. It's good news and bad news. The playing field for work-life balance has been forever recalibrated, which I have bought into. Initially, I was concerned, but I have bought into it. It's healthier for everybody all around.
By the way, I'm buying some stickers that we're going to place on computers that'll be pointing at the people to come back to their jobs, and they'll say Biden did it. Just kidding. Sorry, that's just for the people that
get to work.
I guess. The
Great Resignation and people leaving jobs that they'd been at for years that were safe and established meant that people were either leaving to start their own business, they were leaving to go to a startup, they were leaving to travel. So the travel aspect of people wanting their old jobs back, that makes sense because you've been able to stack cash for almost 2 years in the middle of a pandemic.
Right.
Then you feel like you're wealthy the first time in your life. Go live your best life. Fine. You come back, you realize, oh, I got to work now. I'd love my old job back. Makes sense. What's shocking to me is the people that left and went to another job that are gainfully employed but would love their old job back. That's shocking to me.
Why is it shocking to you?
Because the common thread and common line I saw firsthand, and I also looked at, with other business owners and discussed that ad nauseum of like why people were leaving, was they wanted to try something new.
Mm-hmm.
Was it just because the new wasn't, for 65% of this poll, was it the new wasn't good
enough?
Can
I tell you what I think it was,
yes.
Oscar? I think it was a question of whether you're young or old, less when you're young, but more that somebody that would be like in their 40s or 50s, where they said to themselves, you know, I have read stories at the very least, and in many cases been touched indirectly by people I know with this pandemic and people buying the farm. And I think there was perhaps a collective attitude of life is short and I need to take advantage of what I want to do when I want to do it. And these are people that realize that they weren't in jobs that were giving them that kind of fulfillment. As we now have become accustomed and acclimated to this pandemic, I think people are of the mindset that they are going to get back to work and get back to, you know, not necessarily, working to live, but working because,
I hope that's true. Now,
I think that's what it would be, that we know that now that we've got a handle on the pandemic. Let's get back to normal. Work hard, take our vacations, be mindful that life is still short. But, you know, who knows? I don't know.
I think it
sounds good for the workforce.
The reset's the better place. But not everybody believes that. Let me add this.
Believes what?
That this work-life balance is the perfect play for what's best for business. And I'll give you some options here. I'll give you some examples. There's a big uproar at Apple and Goldman Sachs and Google where they're like, hey, in April for Apple, we're going to start this hybrid. Like you have to be at work at least three times a week.
And where they can be home, but come in, pop into the office 3 days.
Correct. At right. Goldman Sachs in New York, and I know big bank, evil bank, everybody thinks that. I don't think that. But if you're a big bank like Goldman Sachs, they said, no, everybody has got to come back to the office. You have to come back.
So Goldman's saying, enough of this.
Yes.
I want to see Phil at his cubicle 7 a.m. Monday morning.
So much so that they put a memo out that said, we're going to track your key cards. And if you're not, you know, touching the pole at home base, there's going to be a problem.
Pony, you see the smile in his eyes when he shares that?
Oh,
he likes
yeah.
that, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. And
he
what
loves
do you mean,
that.
Touching the pole.
You go back to yeah. work. You're back in your
I've
seat.
Never
You're
heard
back
that.
Where you need to be.
It's remember a term when you, I learned in Little League when Mike was coaching.
Remember when you tried that home experiment and it didn't last that long, Pony? Remember how that worked?
Oh, yeah. I remember yeah. exactly why it stopped yeah. working.
If you're
yeah,
effective from home, I don't think you should have to come back.
I think that in order, certain businesses are different. Certain businesses are you have to make sure the person is there because there's downtime where work might just pop in. You know, I don't know the world of high finance or big industry, but I know that there are certain jobs where you probably could be more effective if you were at the office. Wouldn't that be accurate?
A hybrid model works.
I think a hybrid model is
yeah,
is the best
solution. I think that's effective. But if you can work right. from home and your output is greater than it ever would be even in the office or even the same at a high right. level of expectations, then do it from home. Live wherever you want to live. I feel for the people that I see now on TikTok, especially these like 20-somethings. They're like, I'm supposed to be back in the office starting in April. It's April. I thought we were never going back, so I moved to Philadelphia. So now I'm taking the train from Philadelphia to New York City.
Yeah. But, it depends on what the – look, the bottom line is ka-ching, ka-ching. If there's a paycheck there, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. If it's a job where your ass has to be going from Philly to New York, but you're pulling in, the multiple yeah. figures.
But you left because you thought you were never coming back.
I know. Kind of sad.
That's
but,
the burn. That's the burn.
I don't know. I think it's better for the economy. Tough tease. That's the way I look at it. Anyway, that's it. We got to take a break. Hey, there you go. You found it. Fantastic.
Ray.
Oh, by the way, Pony, I don't want to yes. tease anything for the show tomorrow, but if you could manage to get me the Masters music that Rob has,
okay.
That would be really, really fun. And I'm going to work hard on it this time. We'll be right back, everybody.
I used to be the life of the party, and so he said, that's where I put my thermometer.
No, I'm sorry. He's no.
Everything's
oh,
changed.
No.
Yeah, Johnny.
He was boycotted. Yeah. He's an intern from like 15 years ago.
Johnny,
it doesn't
no.
work. It doesn't work like that. That's two mistakes in one break. That's all right, buddy. You're doing a fine job.
Fine.
You're my stinger. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. It starts for me in earnest next week, Noom, and everything else that I'm going to be putting in place. It's going to be a new world, and I'm prepared for it mentally. There's a reason why Noom works while other diets fail you. Noom uses psychology to give you the practical knowledge and skills you need to build smarter long-term habits and behaviors. The approach is based on scientifically proven principles like cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, which helps people better understand why they eat the way they do. Noom doesn't believe in telling you what you can or can't eat. Instead, Noom gives you the knowledge you need to make informed choices that fit your lifestyle and also help you reach your goals. An off day is okay. Noom will course correct you. You're the boss. 5, 10, or 15 minutes a day. How much time you put into it is your choice. The app is there for you, and it's up to you. More than 75% of users complete the program. More than 60% of users lose 5% or more body weight by 16 weeks. And more than 60% of users keep the weight off for a year or more. Oscar loves it. Carla loves it. Sign up for your trial and get psychologically based support and motivation. Let me say that the right way. Psychology-based support and motivation to reach your goals at Noom, Noom.com/TMOS. That's Noom.com/TMOS to sign up for your trial. Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, one last little news thing, and then we can move on because I always like to pick Oscar's brain on this because, you're a closet news junkie.
Oh,
I know I talk
yes.
about watching the news, but you're you're, you know, the nightly news thing that you do.
I'm watch curious. It at work. It's on in front of me.
When I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off with Little League and just not being able to sit down and really news junk like I normally do. My question to you, okay, I'm aware, I think as of last week, that being a 50-year-old guy, the booster, the fourth booster,
yes, you
with
are
an
now
appointment
eligible.
Will be available to me. At the same time, I am also, and this is background noise for me, I'm hearing this in the background, that the fourth booster may or may not have a little controversy behind it again. Are they saying, what are you hearing about the fourth booster? You know, because I'm all in if I just need a little more info. I've been dragging my feet on this one.
Isn't it remarkable that we were begging for the vaccine not, what, a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
And now you're like, I don't know if I'm going to get
it. No, I'm not saying I don't know whether I'm going to get it. I'm saying I do not.
It's the same.
I thought I overheard.
It's the same BS from before. Same BS from before.
Same crap.
It's the same. And the vaccine, the fourth time around, let's say, like, what else are we going to bitch about here? My father's vaccinated. My mom's vaccinated with the fourth shot. They're over 50. Why would you wait?
So they've already gotten the vaccine for the fourth shot?
Done.
All right. I've been busy this week, and I am not. But I'm not saying I don't know whether I just am telling you that in the background I thought I had heard.
Yeah, because
something
you've
along
got this echo chamber of misinformation and people questioning things. Now there are
nobody on the golf course. Don't worry. None of those folks.
There are other people. There are some other questions about it, how effective it's going to be. Like, I get that, but we get the flu shot every year. And
I'm thinking the same thing. I'm not against you on this.
But
I was just curious
for those out there. For years, we've gotten the flu shot, and it's been wrong for the most it just has been wrong. But we've lived with the fact that, like, okay, but if you do get sick, you're still gonna have a less severe symptoms. So if we just go with the line of thought, then we're gonna be okay.
I don't think I'm gonna grow like a third leg or anything like
that. Yeah, we're beyond. We would have known by now.
Isn't the reason we're finding out about this now because they have been testing it and they have been trialing it to see how it's going? Is that,
yes,
isn't that what it is?
Yes, but also there are multiple new variants on the horizon.
Right.
I mean, that's not lost on us. We just don't want people ending up in the ER.
This is from last week. U.S. Food and Drug Administration authorized a second booster dose of either Pfizer, biotech, or Moderna. COVID-19 vaccines for older people and certain immunocompromised individuals. The FDA previously authorized a single booster. The agency amended the emergency use operation. A second booster dose administered for 50 years of age or older, at least 4 months after receipt. I see nothing about the safety or anything. It's a go for it.
The efficacy
Carly yelled at me last night. I'm going to do it this hopefully this weekend.
Yeah, I'm hearing in the city here, and it's a little off-putting, but it's a new normal. People, they're popping positive.
Well, because there's another little thing floating around,
yes,
right? Another gribbly that's out there.
I went to, not Pony, because God knows he won't go anywhere. Maybe Virginia Beach. But we, in our ops meeting, I asked everyone, I said, hey, if you want to take vacation, which I hope you do, because you can, you should. We ask you to do it. Do it this summer, because if you plan anything for the winter or fall, who knows where we're going to be with the COVID season?
Let me just crystallize what I believe is where we're getting the negative Nellies out here, okay? So here's the story that a lot of people are quoting, that a fourth dose of a COVID-19 vaccine restores antibodies to levels observed after the third dose, but provides only a modest boost in protection against infection. Well, the boosters and the vaccine have always been the same regarding preventing infection, but your sickness level, your chance of hospitalization, that's why you're getting these. Why do you think they have missed the boat in communicating clearly to people that you get boosted and you get these vaccines so that if you happen to contract COVID, you're not going to wind up in a dire medical situation. You still have a chance of getting infected if you're in the wrong environment, which, by the way, means it's not a bad idea to pop a mask on. But the attitude, especially in one half of the country, which is like, oh, come on. What, are you going to get one every year?
Like, you're like still bitching about COVID? Hassle. I feel like when I bring it up, sometimes they're like, oh, we're playing this drum again.
Yeah, that's the attitude. Isn't that a stupid effing attitude when you're thinking it's out there, folks?
I'm exhausted.
And people have died. How many people died?
I'm just as a kind reminder. I don't like emergencies. It was the worst. Like I think the stress level of anyone that was in business having to, you know, save their business and the livelihoods of their team members and family members and put a food on the table, that's shaved how many years off people's life expectancy? It just,
yeah, and I go with the FDA and Pfizer and Moderna and the people that are working their asses off for this. So there, I've answered my
own
question.
You're a man of science.
I am a man of science, and I think that when you're talking about the idea of taking these boosters as somebody who's over 60 and fat, is going to keep me out of an ICU if I happen to contract it when I'm walking around, you know, greeting people in my own unique way.
You got a bunch of kids around you as well.
I lick hands now. That's the way. Yeah. Just like a dog, I lick a hand. So I'm just reading through this Israeli study. Let me see. Regardless of the vaccine brand, the fourth dose raised participants' levels of neutralizing antibodies, which can block viral infection of cells, which means you're not going to get as sick. They also say levels after the fourth dose did not surpass those observed after the third dose, suggesting that the vaccines had hit an upper limit. Well, that's okay. But if it restores that upper limit, right? And I'm not even a scientist and I'm looking at this.
You look, people that don't care about science, you're never going to be able to convince them. Because they're built on their beliefs and sometimes that,
well, and it was politicized and turned into a thing.
That'll take care, that'll, you know, take people to their graves, and they still to this day probably would still deny it.
Yeah, Carla told me I have to get an appointment though. With
but
walking in the last time. So I think it's call the pharmacy and get an appointment.
Yeah, but the idea that you can just do that from your phone is a godsend.
Yeah, but I want a lollipop. Sorry, always a lollipop. That's it. We have to take a break. We will come back with Soundtown. Some interesting stuff on Soundtown today, and you will be listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Well, you know that because you're already here. So we'll take a short break. I'm sorry. I lost my place. Just too many vaccines, man. That's all it is. I'll be right back.
Hello, parishioners. It's me, Uncle Baby Billy Freeman. I want to thank all of you that have supported me by purchasing my Baby Billy's Health Elixir. Blessings to all of you. But I've recently discovered something that's even more potent, and it's my God-given duty to tell you about it. It's the Mike O'Mara Show on TikTok. Beautiful, funny, spiritually uplifting, bite-sized clips of your favorite podcast. Perfect for yourself and for sharing with the congregation of your life. It's based on ancient scriptures and heals colds, flus, strips, even COVIDs. Just search TikTok for Mike O'Mara Show and follow us. Heal the spirit to heal the body. Mike O'Mara Show on TikTok. It's your salvation. Or my name isn't Walton Goggins. Baby Billy Freeman. Amen.
Thank you, Baby Billy. Hey, Oscar, guess what?
What?
My AARP magazine came yesterday.
Ooh.
You know who's on the cover this month?
Donnie Simpson?
No, it's not Donnie Simpson. That's Liam Neeson.
Oh.
Yeah. I will get your subscription. I will find you, and I will kill you. Hello, I'm Mike O'Mara, AARP member. I'm still young at heart, but as we get older, we're more concerned about affordable health care, lower prescription costs, and protecting Social Security. All those things I'm into. And Medicare. AARP advocates for you and offers financial resources, fraud protection, help. Great magazine. Information on joining local volunteer groups and much more. AARP knows you have a lot of good years ahead. I used to think AARP was just for old people, but anyone over 50 can truly benefit from family caregiving support, access to news and community events, driving safety tips, job boards, and resume advice, not to mention great discounts on things like prescriptions not covered by Medicare, and up to 15% off meals at participating restaurants. I will always say it like that in that commercial. AARP is the largest advocacy group for people that are 50 plus like me. I love all the benefits and they can help me all the time. Don't miss out. Call now. Try the benefits for yourself. Go to AARP.org/TMOS to join for just $12. for your first year with automatic renewal. You'll get a second membership for free, plus AARP, the magazine, which I got yesterday. Love it, love it, love it. And a free gift. That's AARP.org/TMOS. Cue the Soundtown music, people.
What a sound.
Did you hear that?
Make some noise.
Soundtown.
All right, Masters fans, if you love it, it's the best time of year for a spectator golf.
I can't believe Tiger's playing.
He is, and a little caveat, but he's going to see how he feels, but it sounds like he's going to be there. And he was there yesterday, and then he talked to the media. This is what he said.
Well, as of right now, I feel like I am going to play. As of right now, my recovery has been good. I've been very excited about how I've recovered each and every day, and that's been the challenge. That's why I came up here and tested out for 27 holes. But it's the recovery. You know, how am I going to get all the swelling out and recover for the next day? So we've got another day of 9 more holes, and then come game time.
Oh, man. So, I mean, really, when you think about this latest setback where people said, you know, he may not walk, he may lose his leg. It's incredible. It really is.
It's a real testament to the Hyundai family and the Genesis, that SUV.
Right. Yeah, and way to go. I mean, it's fantastic that it saved his life.
I didn't tell you that when we were in LA for Christmas, that road, like, it is very, I drove up and down it a zillion times.
Palo Verde,
yes.
Right? Isn't that
Palo Verde, yes. Right? I drove up and down that road where he crashed a zillion times.
And it's dangerous.
It's relative.
It's curvy, right?
It's not curvy like San Francisco. You got to pay attention. The speed he was, I feel like he hit the wrong pedal when he realized something was going sideways, because it just kept going straight. And to see in real life the crash, a site in real life, and how the brush was, the debris, and see the houses that you saw on chopper, on helicopters beforehand.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
Wild.
I'm so glad he's back.
Yeah.
All right, here's a little clip for you that needs no explanation. Listen to this.
President Obama returned to the White House today for the first time since he left office.
Jimmy Kimmel.
That's really got to bother Trump. All these lies and schemes and lawsuits to get back to the White House. Obama just strolls right in there. Obama was there celebrating the 12-year anniversary of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and also to help Joe set up his Roku. And somehow they managed to strike just exactly the right balance of affection and confusion.
Thank you, Vice President Biden. Vice President. That was a joke. That was all set up. Yeah.
It was great to see him. It was like the White Men Can't Jump reunion at the Oscars. And then...
That's funny. That's Jimmy Kimmel, obviously. So there's a Canadian businessman. I'm sure he's a developer. He's a rich guy. He's got a resort. And he is doing some good. I love Canadians. I really do. He's up there. And I guess they're in the middle of a remodel for the resort that this guy uses, that he owns. And he's stopping it in its tracks so that he can support people from Ukraine. This guy is a Ukrainian-backed guy. Listen to what he's doing for the people.
Both my grandparents came over from the Ukraine when they were children, so I've been here a long time. This whole thing was personal for us, and we're getting it ready, and I think we're going to have phase one of the project ready so we can take about 20 people here in about 2 weeks, and then we'll just keep rolling on from there.
He's going to get ultimately 100 Ukrainian families that'll be moving into his resort.
Wow.
To support the refugees that are coming over here.
That's huge.
Top of mind, folks, don't forget what they're dealing with over there. It's really, really important for everyone to think about it. I have seen so many times when I'm especially out west, these balloon companies that fly these beautiful hot air balloons all over the country. And you see them at festivals. You see them everywhere. I will tell you this, whenever I see them, there is not a snowball's chance in hell that I'm getting in one of these things, because it seems like we got one of these stories every 3 weeks or so. This is the actuality of, you'll hear the pilot, if there's such a thing, and you know, you just go.
Yeah, I'm just turning on and off.
This is the pilot, as the hot air balloon is crashing.
Oh, no.
This is what it sounds like, ladies and gentlemen.
Here we go. Right. Hang on. Just hang on. Hang on. Everybody hang on. Stay in the basket. In the basket with me. Stay on. Stay on.
Sounds a little scary.
Terrifying.
Right? Yeah. Hang on. Hang on. I guess that means if you like jump out of the basket,
be tossed
you're,
out.
You're going to buy the farm as it's coming down. Listen to this again one more time.
Here we go. Right. Hang on. Just hang on. Hang on. Everybody hang on. Stay in the basket. In the basket with me. Stay on. Stay on.
Must be the safety measure.
Stay on.
Stay on. That must be what they're trained to do, right? Sounds like it, maybe. I'm not
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I think they need to revamp that.
Yeah, a little
that,
bit.
That update that pamphlet because, you know, on a plane, it's brace.
Hang in a hot air balloon.
Hang on. Yeah. Is that not?
Yeah, thanks, Uncle Baby Billy.
That does hang not on. Give us any sense of, like, we're going to make it out of this together.
Exactly. Yeah, sounds a little scary. We leave you this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, with the song stylings of Mr. Seth Meyers. Yes, that's right. Two late night shows. Okay, I don't do it all the time. Thank you.
An environmental group said in a new report that it cleaned up nearly 500,000 pieces of trash last year from New Jersey beaches, including a fake eyeball. Wow. I am shocked that it was fake. I mean, I feel like most days you go to the Jersey Shore, you're seeing a real eyeball. The environmental group also reported finding male enhancement pills in a glow-in-the-dark condom, or as it's known in New Jersey, Solid Tuesday Night.
Solid Tuesday Night.
Now leaving SoundCloud.
Dan O'Brien.
Dan O'Brien, Jersey boy. That's awesome. Hey, great show today, guys.
Fun.
We'll be back with another episode. We have another rumor that our old pal will be joining us. So, Rob Mobbers, get ready for that. I know Tony's been talking to him. You've been talking to him. And we've all been calling each other
Wednesday.
A-holes via text message.
Thursday,
that's
Rob.
It. Thursday, Rob. Looking forward to it. Take care, everybody. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow. For Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and Pony Boy Matt Bloom, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.